Hello, welcome to Kit Plus TV. Now, as many people watching this will know, we started our YouTube channel back in 2011, which coincided with the IBC show in Amsterdam, where at the time we did 100 booth interviews with exhibitors using a shoulder-mounted EX3 camera to roam the 14 halls.
Yes, I remember the sore shoulder being talked about. Since then, we've collected over 1,500 trade show discussions, as well as the now daily Kit Plus TV show. And the common connection with both is our next guest, who we've spoken to at more or less every international trade show in the last 10 years. And he was the first ever guest on Kit Plus TV last April. It's always good to catch up, and we're delighted to welcome from the home of Dante and audio networking, Mark Wilson from Glensound.
Hey guys, nice to see you. Very nice to be back. I love that intro. First ever guest on your show. That's a nice accolade.
You were definitely a guinea pig for us then, Mark, and we do appreciate it.
Now, definitely a guinea pig, yes.
last time we chatted face-to-face was ISC 2020 in Amsterdam, February last year, actually, just before lockdown in the UK. And we were discussing the Comedia, which is the brain inside your very popular Divine speaker to enable Dante Audio of IP to be used on existing speakers. So let's pick up from that point. What have you been up to since we last spoke?
Well, that's a very broad question that can be answered in many ways. But suffice to say, when lockdown happened, because it's funny, at ISC, myself and Gavin were walking around in the evening bemusing what might happen in lockdown and how we would solve it. And our far-fetched ideas, which we thought would never happen, what actually happened was so much worse. but yes, we apart from the first couple of months, which I think it was a pretty scary time for everyone right at the start, wasn't it, when it felt like the world was about to end, We weren't sure at all what was going to happen, and we were even investigating if we should get involved into sort of support systems, looking at even making hand sanitizers and all sorts of things we were looking at getting involved in, because we didn't know what would happen. But then pretty quickly after a few weeks, it was quite apparent that the broadcasting world was gonna keep going. They had to keep going, and especially when sport restarted. And it kept us busier than ever. There were various projects that happened across the year that kept us busy. But we can kind of sum it all up by saying it was the need for people working at home, for systems that allowed news reporters, journalists, commentators to work from home. We have systems that allow that. And that kept us very, very busy throughout the year. From small projects up to some very large projects, like we've worked an awful lot with people like ESPN in America, and our Inferno unit, our Inferno commentary box, they've had over 200 of those over the last 6 months or so. It's for all of their reporters working from home, and there's various groups all working in a similar way, the remote reporting, and that certainly kept us very, very busy and kept the lights on during what was has been a challenging time for everyone.
Yeah, somewhat troubling. So last time we spoke, as Simon mentioned, we were talking about the Divine speaker solution that you have. Yeah, how's that gone down? Has it been well received?
Divine, very much. Yes, we thought one of the primary markets for it would be the theatre world, which is, we were showing it at ISE, the last exhibition we were at. But then, of course, theatres closed pretty much straight after ISE and have not opened since. But that said, in all the non-theatre world that we're involved in, so traditional broadcast for sort of commercial AV applications, various utility applications, we've sold well over 1,000 or so of them. So we're not too unhappy with that it's got a fairly solid start and an impact. And we think we get so many requests on it still, and so many requests to evolve it. So there's an right. awful lot of life is going to be coming out of the back of the Divine soon. I mean, the immediate one that we did is the batch that we just had arrived of castings, because we make the whole unit here, but we have the castings made out. Because it's a solid two-piece casting. Right. We now have it available in white. It's a fairly simple thing, but there was a lot of requests for a white one. So we now have that as an option as well. Okay. So the Divine's has done very, very well from us. Not least the fact that when we were able to update the software for it, that the remote control of the Divine now, which is one of its key features, actually allows speaker grouping now. So you can set user groups within Divines, and it's very simple. You just assign it to a user group, then any control either on a speaker or remote will adjust the level of all the speakers in that group.
Okay.
So you're very simple. It's very simple to enable groups. So it has been evolving through the year with different features, and will continue to do so.
And as we've already touched upon, a very challenging year we've just had, and you know, somewhat continue to have now. But what opportunities have you had to launch new products over that time?
Our machine for development has never stopped. We are a company about new developments and new projects. That's largely what we do. When we go to exhibitions and tell people about our products, all we're really doing is, you know, this is what we've done and these are fixed boxes. But we always start a discussion with somebody, not with a look at these boxes we've made. We always say, so what is it you're trying to do? And we'll tell you how we can help you with that. So there's an awful lot of customization we're involved in, and a lot of projects have come out of the back of that. From we have a unit called a Minferno, which is a small commentary box remote production unit, but customers in America wanted them much smaller, so we had a smaller one. Our Beatrice line has expanded quite a lot, our Beatrice intercom line, with wall panels. We have a lighthouse flashing indicator light, a four-channel indicator light as part of the Beatrice intercom. And we have an interface on Beatrice now for walkie-talkies. So if you're using sort of Motorola-type radio interfaces, you can interface them into our Beatrice intercom system now as well. And most recently, I've only been around for about a month or so now, we have a device called Lucia, which is an interface to some legacy two-wire equipment. If you have any legacy two-wire equipment you need to take into Dante, it will do that. And it also has direct pin-per-pin interfacing to RTS and Clearcom. So if you're using RTS and Clearcom belt packs, even if they need power, our device provides power down the line, and you can connect those into our Beatrice intercom system as well. So there's a big development on that. Another major side was our Broadway project within the Ordinate Dante world. We introduced the Broadway chipset, which is like a mid-range chipset, which fits us perfectly for a lot of products. So we've introduced a Broadway design for a new belt pack, new intercom belt pack, a new commentary box that have come in. And most recently, a unit called a Vittoria, which is a Dante bridge, where people want to run two completely isolated Dante networks that we pair together internally, but the actual networking of them is secure, two completely separate that you can run at different clock rates. Mm. So that's what's happened in a very brief nutshell over the last year or so.
Yeah, in a nutshell, brief.
Trying to be careful of your running time, so I only picked a few. There are some I didn't mention, but
yeah. Is there anything? Is there any exciting? So there's some good products that you've done, and a lot of it probably in response to doing a lot of things remote. Dante being a common theme here. What about what's coming up? You know, as these trends are probably going to stick around. Yeah, this remote stuff, commentators wanting to work from home, etc. Have you got anything coming up?
Always. There are always new projects coming up. I'll mention a few of the points I can talk about. We've got an AOIP 22, which is a very low cost two-in, two-out analog device. We're doing a version of that with mic amps. So we'll have a small, low-cost Dante mic amp, which we've been asked for a lot, which will be around soon. We've produced versions recently, or starting to produce versions of our Dark 16, which is analog only, 16-in, 16-out analog only. We've got the same in and out only on our Dark 8 channel unit. We do it periodically now on new units coming forward. Lots of people in the TV world are asking us for 12 volt. So any of our devices with mains power, people can ask us for 12 volt on now. That's not a problem. We can put 12 volt power on any of them. Then our big sort of project, which will be with us within the next few months, is we're heading into the esports arena. And we have a dedicated esports gamers interface. We call it a gamers interface, but it's a multi-function interface that a gamer, their coach, and a judge can all use the self-same box for the functions that they need within an esports event. And a lot of the functions that have had to be done outside with regard to group mixing, so everyone can hear each other, white noise for the judges, control for the actual users themselves, multiple interfaces for headsets. We've put it all into one box. So that will be with us very soon as our next major project.
So, Mark, going off topic very slightly, you're an independent UK manufacturer, and I'm sure you'll give me your established date, but you've been around for a very long time. How challenging do you find it in these times to recruit new staff and ensure that the skills that you have in-house are there for the future?
It is always something we're very aware of, because there is always a demand on our design team. And the way we work within our design team tends to be multi-skilled. So in a lot of design teams, you may specialize in a certain area of what you do. But our engineering teams tend to be multi-skilled, so we can give somebody a project. They work with a sales team first on a brief with a customer. They can then design system drawings. They can then design the hardware. They can then write the code and design the software, so they can do a product start to finish. The Lucia that I mentioned was our newest recruit. He went straight on as a fairly junior engineer and designed a complete product start to finish. So there's a lot of support for our engineers, for new engineers at the start, but there's a very collaborative approach with our design team. One common thread with our people is they are all passionate about audio. Our people are very much audio design people. And I think that's a common thread. And where people have not worked out here, perhaps, tends to be the ones that are not passionate about audio. They're good engineers, but they're not audio based. So all our people understand audio and how audio is being introduced into the network world, how it's evolving, and its role within television, within film. So they're audio people, and we're continually developing the team and expanding. We are, in the last 10 days or so, we've been talking to some new graduate recruits, and there's another couple of new graduate recruits joining us soon. We don't always start with graduate recruits. Quite often we do take on established engineers. Our senior engineer, Martin, was an established industry engineer before he joined us. But we try and balance taking on senior, well-established engineers at the same time as bringing junior engineers up working in the sort of Glen Sound style and the way we like our design team to work, which is very normal for us, but might be very different for other people. And it's a continuing process. And I think from our side, because we try and have these single skill set, a single use engineers that can do hardware and software and design a whole product, I think they get a lot of pride when they can work with a customer, work with myself and other members of Glen Sound. They get a product, and because we're in TV and radio, you know, every time they turn the telly on, they'll see one of our boxes on TV being used somewhere. I mean, Sky TV have got our Paradiso boxes on the front every race. It's the Paradiso's used and Sky One. So it's very rewarding for our engineers, and I think they like that side of it when they see the fruits of their efforts actually physically being used and see them around.
Fantastic. Well, I like the idea that a balanced approach, getting engineers in and bringing the youth up, you need that, but also an understanding of audio. It's a dark art, an evil science that'll trip you up. And we've always been passionate about, making sure that people know manufacturers like yourself can help people, solve the challenges. Mm-hmm.
Well, certainly our team, they might be very good at networking or Dante or coding, but they certainly do need to have that grounding in audio, because we will ask them to build analog audio systems as part of it as well. So a lot of new people, new engineers, will understand the networking side or the coding, but they don't often work with traditional audio. But if you come to Glen Sounds, you always will, because it will always be part of a system.
And then exhibitions, normally that's where we see you. I guess you'll be looking forward to getting back to seeing people in person.
Very much so. Like many of us, this is the longest period I've not been to an exhibition since I was about 20, I think. We do 5 or 6 exhibitions a year normally, so it's very strange that it's been over a year now that we've not had an exhibition. The next international exhibition for us is CAPSAT, and then I think shortly after CAPSAT there's even a Kit Plus happening, isn't there?
We're hoping to on July the 6th.
Yes. So it would be great to get back to some face-to-face meetings again. But the big unknown, particularly with the international shows, not so much the UK ones, which I think will be a lot easier for us, but the international shows, is if anyone will actually go. Because obviously we're looking at CAPSAT. CAPSAT's at the end of May. It's not very far away. And although we're doing well in the UK, it depends what the UK's opinion is of when you've been somewhere else. So it's whether we have to quarantine coming back, hotel quarantine, or what might happen. So I've had a mantra all through this, is that the only thing we know for sure is that we don't know anything for sure. So we've just got to wait and see.
Wait and see and just be safe.
Thank you, Mark, for joining us today. Of course, you can find out all about Kit Plus Show at kitplusshow.co.uk to find out as we approach July the 6th date when we're hoping to go ahead in Media City. Thanks again to Mark. Thanks also to Media Proxy for their support of Kit Plus TV. You can find out about them at mediaproxy.com. And don't forget, all of our shows are also available on podcast, so you can listen on the move as well. And we'll see you next time.